It's the Charmed Ones. Mine is Piper.
Welcome back. It is morning time for me, and I am not a morning person, so I will be drinking my coffee periodically. Please excuse the sipping noises that I make because I was raised by a man. Now, I am again alone. I have actually, ironically, been to Tony's house a couple times, and we just have never filmed a podcast episode because you don't realize it, but it's really kind of awkward to be in front of your friend, have a microphone, and be like, oh, you want to talk into this now? Like, it's really awkward. So every time I go to see her, we always say, oh, we're going to do an episode. We're going to do it. But then when we actually sit down to do it, we either get distracted or it's just so awkward that we just, like, can't even do it. We will pull our big girl panties up and do it one of these days. It's coming. It's just, you got to get past the awkwardness first. And I don't think we've gotten past it yet. Sip of coffee. So today I wanted to talk about something really controversial, which is abortion. Now, I know a lot of people, you either love it or you hate it. There's no really middle ground here. You either think it's a sin and you're killing a live person, or you're pro-choice. Like, there's really no middle ground. And I just wanted to talk about it because I am pro-choice. However, people confuse pro-choice with pro-abortion. And I would not say that I am pro-abortion, because if I were to pop pregnant right now, am I prepared? No. Would I be able to do it very easily? No. Would I then terminate? I don't know. Like, I can't tell you that I would, and I can't tell you that I wouldn't, because I don't know if I, for me, could ever see myself doing it. Like, I don't know if I could ever do it myself personally, because I've seen the toll that it takes on the people that have it. But I've also seen that once they got it done, their life was so much, not better, but it's just like their life was on track, you know. They don't regret it, but they always feel that sense of guilt and emotional weight on them for having done it. And I don't know if I could handle the guilt. I don't know if I could handle the emotional weight. So I can't say, oh yeah, if I were to get pregnant right now, I would go have an abortion. I can't say I would, because I don't know if I really would. But I also can't say that I wouldn't, because I don't know that I wouldn't, because I really could not afford a baby right now. But I don't want to say that I wouldn't. So one of the main arguments people use against abortion is, oh, why don't you put your baby up for adoption? There's so many couples that want to adopt kids. Yes, to a certain degree. However, I was adopted. So I do not know a lot about the system, because, you know, once you're adopted out of the system, you're not in it anymore. But I do know some things about it. I know that there are a couple hundred thousand kids in foster care right now. Once you are not a baby or a toddler anymore, the chances of you getting adopted are very, very low, because people want kids. And if you were a baby who had any type of medical issue, if you have any type of preconditioning condition, even something as simple as asthma, the chances of you getting adopted decrease by more than half, because parents want a perfect, healthy little baby. They're not prepared to take on anything with any type of special need. And yes, there are certain people who will take on special need kids, and I applaud them. But the majority of kids that get adopted are kids that have never had any sort of health problem ever. And it's totally valid. You know, if you can't take care of a special needs kid because you're not prepared to just go out and get one, it's different than just, you know, your kid was born with disabilities. That's a little different. You don't pick and choose how your kid is born. But when you're adopting, you really, really can pick and choose. You can go in to that foster home and be like, oh, okay, so I want a blonde-eyed, blue-eyed baby girl, no more from 0 to 6 months. And sometimes that's really hard to find, because all the babies get adopted really fast. And the ones that aren't adopted, they grow up in the system, and the system is broken. It is a very flawed, very broken system that people don't like to acknowledge how broken the system is. Now, if you are in a foster home, there's really not any more orphanages. There's group homes and then there's foster homes. Group homes are not great places. Do I need to explain to you why group homes are not great places? You know, they're filled with a lot of other kids. There's a lot of bullying going on. You know, the caretakers don't pay you a lot of attention. You know, you don't get the connection, the caring, the love that you need, that kids need as they're growing up. Same with foster homes. There are some good foster homes, don't get me wrong, but a lot of foster homes, because they get paid, the foster parents get paid a stipend from the state. And a lot of times they use that to help them pay their bills, and they really don't care about the kids in their care. So then those kids are left to run wild. You know, I've heard horror stories of foster homes where they would lock up the toilet paper and you have to ask for toilet paper. You have to tell them which one you're going, if you're going pee or if you have to poop, so that they can give you a certain amount of toilet paper so that they're not wasting their money on toilet paper. Like, that's ridiculous, but I know that that's true. Other homes will literally at night lock the kid into the room so that they can't get out and quote unquote sneak out or cause problems. But you're basically trapping them. They're trapped in that house. And maybe you had a great foster home experience. Maybe you did. Maybe your foster parents were lovely and they treated you great. Once you turn 18, you're out of the system. Just out. Doesn't matter if you have a job. Doesn't matter if you had a different place to live. Unless your foster parent is really, really generous and is letting you stay after you turn 18, you're out. Just out on the street. You have to do whatever you have to do. A lot of times when that happens, you can go to a halfway house until you can get back up on your feet. You can't really go to group homes anymore because group homes are for kids. So you either have to go to a halfway house, the street, or you had to have done some pre-planning to have a place to stay. And you know, a lot of kids, even though they're facing that reality, are not prepared to be, come 18, the middle of the school year, to be thrown out of the place they've been living for however long they've been there, to then either have to go to a halfway house full of adults, grown-ass adults, that just got out of prison, that just got out of rehab, with all these other problems and things. It's an unsafe environment for a just fresh 18-year-old. Or they have to go on the street, which is just as unsafe, if not more unsafe, than a halfway house. And then they have to try to go, if they didn't already have a job, they have to try to go find a job. That's even harder when you have no address, when you have no phone number. Like, you can't get a job without an address nowadays, because it's not even that your job sends you mail, because most of the time they don't send you mail, but they need the address, just like they need your social security card, just like they need your phone number, just like they need to know all these things about you, that a lot of times, if you're living on the street, or if you're a foster kid who just got out of the foster care system and you're living in a halfway house, you don't have that information. You don't know where you're staying. You don't know what you're doing. And then a lot of times kids that come out of the system, they either come out really well, you know, they pushed themselves, they went to school, they, you know, did all of that, and they have great lives, and I'm so very proud of them for that. The other half of the time, they either wind up on drugs and on the street, or they wind up on drugs, but you know, they're not good members of society. Even the ones that made successes of themselves. Because, you know, they're going to have to spend years and years and years in therapy trying to learn how to love themselves, how to behave like people who were raised correctly. Because I cannot tell you that I believe people in foster care are being raised the right way. Because they're not being raised. They're being left to raise themselves. And what do kids who don't know anything of the outside world do to raise themselves? Like, how do you educate yourself? How do you know how to process things as an adult? How do you know correct emotional responses? How do you know how to do this and do that when you have to do it by yourself? They don't know. They're stumbling around lost more than anybody else in the world is. And society likes to ignore it because their idea of stopping abortion is, oh, just put them up for adoption. Just put them up for adoption. Okay. So if that's the solution, why aren't all of you adopting all the kids that are already in the foster care system? And it's because these pro-life people, you know, they're not pro-life. They're pro-birth. They don't care about you after you're born. Because if they did, kids would not be starving on the street. the foster care system would be a lot better. You know, it wouldn't just be, oh, here you go, you're alive, take care of yourself. And that's only one thing about it. So the foster care system, it works in a sense. However, if every woman that got an abortion now, if they overturn Roe versus Wade and every person that would or that, yeah, that would get an abortion then has to put their babies up for adoption, can you imagine how overly saturated the now foster care system would be when it already cannot support what kids it has? There's not enough social workers, there's not enough foster homes, there's not enough group homes. They can't support all the people that would get an abortion to then throw their kids into this system, because the system is already broken. The system is already too full. It's not going to work. And then, so let's say they do want to put the kid up for adoption, okay, instead of getting an abortion. So if one of the reasons why they were giving the kid up is because they can't financially take care of this child because they're young, or, you know, they just don't have a good paying job, you know, they're living off ends meet, they're living off food stamps, you know, they just government assistance, they can't afford to have this kid and then still be able to live. Okay, so they're going to put the baby up for adoption because that's what the people tell them they have to do. They have to put the baby up for adoption. Okay, so if they can't afford to care for this child, what makes you think they can afford to be pregnant? Think about that. What makes you think they can afford to be pregnant? Do you know how expensive it is to be pregnant? It's very expensive because there's multiple doctor's visits, there's prenatal vitamins, there's all the things you have to buy to be comfortable while you're pregnant, clothes, pillows, all that stuff. There's a lot of things you can't do, which means if you're working like a labor job, there's a lot of things you can't do there, which means maybe a pay cut, maybe you have to leave work early, so then you really can't afford anything. And then, you know, the hospital visit to go give birth is ridiculously expensive, you know, especially like if you don't have the resources to pay to have a kid, what makes you think that that woman has health insurance? She probably doesn't. So then she has to then go pay for this hospital room to go give birth, which is going to be $1,000. And then let's say she gives birth. What if she needs to have an emergency C-section? That's so much more money. What if it's a breech birth? What if she tears really, really bad? Okay, then that's an extra financial cost to have to pay for any additive things that the hospital or doctors have to do. But then there's recovery time after that. Like, stitches take months to heal if you rip giving birth, especially, and then a C-section. Do you know how long it takes to recover from a C-section? How many pills you have to have? How long you would have to be off work to recover? That's a lot of money for a kid she's just giving up. Because in most states, it's illegal to pay for surrogacy or adoption or anything like that. You don't get paid. Like, if you're giving up your child for adoption, you don't get paid, like, at all. It's something you just did for free. So if she couldn't afford to keep the baby, and then she can't afford to be pregnant, what other choice does she have? Like, I just, let me know, what other choice does she have other than to try to abort? Because, and even then, does she even have the money for that? Does she even have the money for that? Because if you go to Planned Parenthood, abortion is like $500 to $800 to $1,000 out of pocket to even get the procedure done. So what makes you think she even really has the money to even do that? Of the three options, she either has to be pregnant, somehow spend the money to be pregnant, somehow spend the money to give birth, and then just go home like it didn't happen. That's asking a lot. Or she either has to find the money to go have an abortion, which then she doesn't have to spend any more money after that. She's then just left with this emotional, gut-wrenching, you know, feeling that she did this. And you talk to women that have had an abortion, they tell you it was the hardest, most gut-wrenching decision they've ever made, But in the end, they don't regret it because it was what they needed in their life at that point. And a lot of times it's not about, you know, I just don't want it. This is my birth control. I've never met or heard about a single woman who uses abortion as a birth control because literally it's so hard on you mentally and physically that just using it as a birth control method is not feasible. Like, it's just not feasible. And then people want to argue, oh, well, you know, when you get abortions at 20 weeks, no one performs abortions at 20 weeks. It's just not a thing. By then, the fetus is fully formed. It's just not a thing. It is illegal and has always been illegal to perform abortions at 20 weeks or after 20 weeks. And the only times they happen after 20 weeks is when they're medically necessary. Either the baby is stillborn, it's dead already inside the womb, so they're just going to take it out, or there's some life-threatening medical issue with it to where when it's born, it's going to die anyway, or it's going to be alive for a couple minutes and it's going to be an excruciating pain, and it's not the quality of life you want for your baby, then they can abort it at 20 weeks. Or if there is a life-threatening medical condition to the mother from the pregnancy, then they can abort. So you're telling me that none of those three options are good and true or godly or whatever for getting an abortion after 20 weeks? Because I just don't understand. Because the thought process is, at 20 weeks, you wanted your baby. You prepared for your baby. You prepared for it. You know, you have the nursery. You have all the baby clothes. You're about to have the baby shower. At 20 weeks, you wanted this pregnancy. No one goes through a pregnancy for 20 weeks and then decides, oh, I don't want it anymore. Let me get rid of it. No. At 20 weeks, you wanted it, and you're devastated that this has to happen. But it has to happen for one reason or another. So then, the only other option to avoid abortion is the mom has to keep it. And okay, well, we've already discussed what if they can't afford to keep it. But let's say they push themselves and they're like, no, I'm going to keep it. This is my baby. I'm going to keep it. Okay. So now it's one more person on government assistance, one more kid who has to go to work and get the free lunch from school, who's going to get picked on, who has the hand-me-downs, who's going to get picked on, who's going to get bullied. It's one more sad kid, one more broke mom that then people are going to resent because it's like, oh, I'm paying for your government assistance. Okay, well, if you hadn't taught her that abortion was evil, it made her evil, then maybe she would have had one, and then, you know, she wouldn't be in the position she's in. But that's not acceptable. Okay, so I really want to challenge you pro-life people to think about this. If you're pro-life and you think every baby from the moment of its conception is alive and should be protected and treated as a human being, okay, that's fine. You can believe whatever you want to believe. But I believe it's not my place or anyone else's place to tell anyone else what they can and can't do with their body, because your religious beliefs should not infringe upon my ability to live my life in the way that I see fit. However, if you want to fight and really stop abortions, you have to be smart enough. You have to be smart enough to know that by making abortions illegal does not stop them. It stops safe abortions. It just means women are going to be in back alleys, unsafe doctor's offices, in basements of doctor's offices, at home, trying to do abortions, and then they are going to die. They're going to be dead women on every corner because abortion was illegal. It does not stop the killing of the babies. Not that I believe that that's what it is, but it won't stop it. It'll just mean that instead of one quote unquote life is gone, it'll now be two, because it'll be the mother and the fetus. So I personally think that the mother's life is more important because she is a full person who has a whole life ahead of her. and her life is just as important as this fetus you're trying so hard to protect. Now, the only way you're realistically going to get abortions to stop, both safe and unsafe, is if you put comprehensive sex education in every school, including the South, every school, everywhere across the state. You give out free birth control, condoms, the pill, IUDs, all of it for free, available everywhere, every single corner, every single state, everywhere, available everywhere. And then the only way to really, 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 really make sure abortions and unwanted pregnancies stop is you're going to have to start requiring men, when they're teenagers and they've just hit puberty, to get vasectomies, because vasectomies are 90% reversible. So you get a vasectomy, you will never impregnate anybody, there will never be a baby that needs to be aborted. And then when they're married, or they're ready to settle down, or they think they're ready to go have a kid, they can go get that vasectomy reversed. And then guys are going to stop having unwanted kids all over the place. Because if you ask me, it's their fault. Let's think about the math. Let's think about this. So one woman can get pregnant once a year, resulting in one baby, right? Okay, so a man can impregnate one woman every single day. So he can cause 365 pregnancies if he were to impregnate one woman every single day. So who's more at fault for all these unwanted pregnancies and all these abortions? The woman who can only do it once every year, or the guy who can literally impregnate somebody every single day of the year if he wanted? Which is why requiring them to have vasectomies make more sense, because then, you know, you're not going to have this man who has three different baby mamas and five different kids, because he couldn't have gotten all of them pregnant. Well, I guess he still could have. He could have, as soon as he hit 18, gone and got the vasectomy reversed and then still went out and did all that. But, you know, it just makes them think harder, you know? So, I don't really know if this made any sense. I hope it did. But those are the main arguments and the main reasons why they don't really work for abortion. Because abortion is going to happen no matter what. And the only way you're going to stop is if you make the sex education better. And then the solutions people give you for abortion, they don't really work. Because they're not fail-proof solutions. And that's what I think this country as a whole needs to understand. There's no fail-proof solution to stopping abortions. So either we're just going to have to educate everybody, which the government does not like to do, or you're going to have to actually go after the people who are responsible for the most pregnancies, which is the men, which again, this country will not want to do. So I think the argument needs to stop until we all understand each sides of it better than we do now and come to a peaceful resolution that nobody should control anybody else's body. And let's leave it at that. I'm a witch, you're a witch, we're all witches together.